In a world where gender roles are often rigidly defined, the sight of women in military uniforms can challenge preconceived notions. But what about the sight of a Muslim woman in a military uniform? And although the South African National Defence Force has made significant strides in integrating women into its ranks, these women often face enduring stereotypes that question their capabilities and commitment. Now, despite this, many brave and resilient women in our midst have risen to prominent positions within the SANDF. And one such example is Lieutenant Colonel Fatima Isaacs, a clinical pathologist who exemplifies leadership and expertise in a critical and yet demanding field. Since joining the military in 2009, Lieutenant Colonel Isaacs has not only excelled in her demanding role, but has also become a symbol of resilience and change. VOC News spoke to this dynamic female to learn about what inspired her to pursue a career in the military. She opens up about her journey, the challenges she faced, and the motivations that fueled her ambition to serve the South African people.
You know how you decide on which career you want to go into when you're in school, right? So I did research on a few careers. I actually wanted to be a detective, but my father was telling me, you know what? You know they use real guns with real bullets and you'll be injured and da-da-da, no need. And then I wanted to be an astronomer. Astrology, you need to, the best astrology place I think in South Africa is in Sutherland. I know Cape Town is cold currently, but Sutherland in winter, it snows. So I thought, nah. And then I thought, I love biology. Biology was one of my most favorite subjects ever. And I did some research, but I don't like drama kings and queens. I don't have much patience with people who hypochondriacs. I thought, oh, wait, I might just offend somebody. So I won't be a nurse or a doctor or anything where I'm in contact with people. And then I realized, oh, but there's something in the background, like pathology. But I won't be a pathologist because they cut up dead bodies. So I don't know where. And then I realized, I kind of did some research and I came upon medical technology. And I really, really loved it. And that's how I became a medical technologist. Actually, I also wanted to go into research, but I did for about 2 years, but it's too slow. I need my results right now. So clinical pathology is where I want to be. And that's how I got into it. And then the military, I worked in Saudi for about 5 years for the Saudi military, one of the military bases. Thought, you know what? You're serving somebody else's country, people in somebody else's country. So you need to serve your own people. And I promised myself 5 years only in Saudi. So when I came back, I looked up military and I found this military base. And I went and I applied and I got the job.
Recently promoted to Lieutenant Colonel, Fatima has achieved a significant milestone in her career. However, despite her impressive rank, she shares a humble preference for being addressed as simply Fatima.
So what we've got the major's role, which I was in, the major's rank. That is like a second in charge rank kind of thing. You know, like a control person, but then you have the one after, which is the lieutenant colonel. Depending on the size of your department, you would either get the rank of lieutenant colonel or you would remain a major. They go by size, right? So our complement of staff requires us to have a lieutenant colonel, and that person is then in charge of the department. So because I'm working in a clinical pathology laboratory, I would be, depending on where we are in Cape Town, so I'd be the lab manager. And then if you look at it in a bigger perspective, because we've got both one military and two military, so it's like an assistant director to the laboratory. So, you know, depending on Osuma, I speak, it's like if I speak to my people in Pretoria, I would like to say assistant director, but down here it's lab manager. Yeah.
As a clinical pathologist, her work involves meticulous attention to detail, extensive knowledge, and a calm demeanor in high-pressure situations. She gives us a glimpse into what a typical day looks like for her.
It's a medical laboratory where we basically test blood, body fluids, so it's blood, body fluids, and body tissues. The clinical pathology part of it is where we would test, example, it's clinical pathology is made up of biochemistry, hematology, and microbiology. Then we have the specialized fields, which is cytology and histology, and a few others. I'm qualified in the clinical pathology, which is biochemistry, hematology, and microbiology. Biochemistry, we would test bloods, but where I am now, it is basically trying to make sure that everyone has what they need to be doing their job. Everyone is happy, and I'm happy at the end of the day because we deliver what we need.
Now, many may know her for making headlines in 2018 when she faced criminal charges for willful defiance and failing to obey lawful instructions after she refused to remove her headscarf while in uniform. Her steadfast commitment to her faith and religion and rights led to a landmark victory in 2021 when a military court dropped the charges against her. This triumph not only vindicated her, but also resulted in a historic change in the South African military's dress policy, allowing Muslim women to wear hijabs with their uniforms.
There was a policy in place, but it was subject to opinion, I think. The policy stated that you were allowed to wear something, cover your head, but not your ranks. Your ranks had to remain open. So for me, that said, there was no issue. What I was doing was okay. And before I went into uniform, I kind of confirmed this. I asked people and they said, no, it's fine. As long as you have something tight on your head, it mustn't be flaring, mustn't be loose. And it mustn't cover your ranks. Then saying a subject to opinion, somebody then decided, no, but it actually means that you can only be wearing something on your head if you are not wearing your beret. And the only places you would not be wearing your beret is inside a building. But going between buildings, that means it's outside, you then have to have your beret on, so you must remove your scarf. So I didn't understand this because, I don't know where that was in the policy, because all of this writing, for me it was, you can wear your scarf, but it must not cover your ranks. So the little extra bits, I don't know. And because that was the argument, we agreed to disagree. And then eventually it became, and then one of my generals said to me, you know what, Fatima, do not let the sun, the wind, or the rain touch you. So I thought, okay, this means stay inside. So I stayed inside. And if I needed to be somewhere in another building, I used to use the tunnel. Go through the tunnel, you hop across and you're there. So there were ways around it, right? And I used to come in civilian wear, put on my uniform. And then, of course, he now decided, no, I'm not complying with what he's saying. Then he decided to charge me, which, like I say, was a boon. It was what I wanted. Then it fixed the problem. Because we were going around in circles. I must be honest, with the negativities, it needed to happen for us to be where we are. I always say it was one person who had the guts to charge me. Because if he did not do that, we would not have solved the issue which we've been trying to fix for a very long time. I actually do say thank you to him because he's fixed the problem which we tried to fix before he came.
Being cast into the spotlight and now carrying the weight of so many Muslim girls who dream of working in the military, Fatima expresses how the case made her feel and the personal impact it had on her.
I was very upset, I must be honest. Very upset. For the mere fact that I felt that I'm Cape Townian, besides being South African, I'm Cape Townian. And in Cape Town, Muslims rule. I felt really, really, really upset with the fact that somebody came from another province and came to dictate to us how we should live our life in with regards to everything, religion. And was I worried that I was going to lose the case? No. Because I believe if something is meant to be, it's meant to be. To lose the case, khalas done. I live out of lust. But I didn't see why I should lose it. Why, there was no grounds for me for losing it because I was doing the right thing. There was a policy in place, I was following it. And I thought, because of this, Fatima's not backing down.
Support from her legal team, family, members of the public, colleagues, and the belief that she was doing it for something greater is what pulled her through.
You know what? I also believe it wasn't me only. I strongly believe in the power of dua. And I think that I really, really, really want to thank everybody, Muslim, Christian, whichever other religions, for keeping me in this thought, for people stopping me in the shop and saying, you're the ones that with the hijab, right? And we're praying for you. It helped me. It kind of made me feel not alone. Because I mean, you know what? All I need you to do, you ask me, what do you want the outcome to be? Do you want like compensation? So I said, no. No need for compensation. We don't want that. What I want is for them not to put a thing on my record. I don't want to have something on my file somewhere saying, oh, you know what, Fatima, this is what you did in this year. So yeah, it wasn't me only, it was everyone, and I should really, 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 I'm still saying shukran to everyone for their support and their help, whether it was into us or whether it was just saying hello to me, it was something. And when people come to me from other divisions like Navy and wherever else, I'm happy that I could help them. I keep I have a copy of the policy so I can show them the colors they can wear, and to show them that it's real. And even the lawyers, yo. It wasn't a Fatima story, it was like an us story. It was an us thing. And when I do think about it, I'm really, really happy that it's finished. People can wear their scarf. We're wearing the scarf like we want to wear. I'm wearing it like I wear my scarf every day, you know, wrapping it. And also, all I do is I make sure it does not cover my rank. So I tuck it in under my shirt, the uniform shirt. I didn't think that it would turn out as successful as this. I was thinking, will just be included in the policy that you can wear your scarf. Finish and fly. I didn't even think of styles in. That wasn't the aim. The aim was just to be able to wear a scarf. Because the final result will still be what Allah wants anyway.
Lieutenant Colonel Fatima Isaacs's journey can be seen as a source of inspiration for many women, not only in South Africa, but around the world. She shares the one bit of advice she would give to other women who are contemplating or dreaming of entering a career in the military, or pathology for that matter.
Firstly, know what you want to do, believe in yourself. And if you feel this is where you want to be, because somebody said to me, being in the military is a calling. I think being in anything is a calling. Being in any career is a calling. So I feel, firstly, you must believe in yourself and do not let people deter you. If this is what you really want to do, do it, please. Military needs people, and Muslims especially, because we're part of this country. We need to make them understand that we're here to stay and that we love being here. We love serving our country. We love our country. So we need to be able to serve our people and help them be healthy from the background. We don't always need to be seen.
For VOC News, I am Rahima McLean.